Praise the Lord. We thank God for all of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for gathering us together once again. Lord, unto the Lord shall the gathering of your people be. We thank you for the privilege that we have to open the Word of God together and to share what thus saith the Lord out of the Scripture. Give us a heart, Lord God, to receive the Word of God. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and open our eyes that we might see what we've never seen before, but it's always been there. Thank you, precious Lord, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Thank God once again for this present truth. We want to draw your attention to the book of Colossians, the third chapter. We want to begin reading at verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. I have the King James Version, and then we want to look at some other versions with the Lord's help. Colossians chapter 3, we'll start at verse 1. We'll read down maybe to verse 10 or verse 11. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, I want you to underline that, notice that piece there in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, we want to come back and push on that a little bit as an emphasis, that Christ is not a belief in this sense. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. There's an appearance that we have as an expectation that the Lord is going to be glorified, and it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. Now, in verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. This is their past life. But now, verse 8, ye also put off all these. These are virtues connected to the life. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Notice that this life is equivalent to the old man that we have taken off now that we have put on Christ. Notice, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, verse 10, and have put on the new man. Let's stop there. That the transition into this life is a simple putting off and putting on. A putting off of the old, or taking off of the old man that includes his life, and putting on the new man who's referred to here in this third chapter of Colossians as Christ. Put on the new man. We see this in verse 10, and we see that there's this putting off and a putting on. Both have to do with the life that we were living and the life that we're currently living. Now, he says, if ye have been risen with Christ, there are some things that now need to become our focus. But this chapter begins with if you have been raised. Because if you have, then this is the corresponding life. He says here, if you've been risen with Christ, then what will happen in this life now? You will seek those things which are above. Why? Because Christ is seated at the right hand of God now. So what I want you to see here is if this is true, then you can seek what's above. But if Christ hasn't gotten to a place where you understand his resurrection, then the corresponding seeking of those things which are above will not happen. He says, if ye've been risen with Christ from the dead, then do this. What is that? Seek those things which are above. That's the first thing. If Christ has grown into an understanding where I have been raised from the dead in him, then there should be a seeking of my own life as the first thing. And then second, there's a setting of my affections. Verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. So I have identified in these two passages what my response as a child of God should be if I've been raised with Christ. Now, to say that you've been raised presupposes that there's been a death and that you've died. Death, burial, resurrection. It's not resurrection, then trying to deal with the flesh. No, that's before the resurrection life actually even manifests itself. So notice he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, why is all this important? The seeking of those things which are above and the setting of my affections. Why is this important? For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, brothers and sisters, if ye've been risen, it's because you've died. This chapter begins with if ye be risen with Christ, not if you've died, not if you've been buried. If you've been raised with Christ, this is an aspect of the process that God has in mind for all of his children. Jesus was the pattern son. Death, burial, resurrection, and his soon impending return. Now, this is what every child of God has to experience, maybe on the daily, so that this life that we carry can be fully manifested in and through us. If you've been raised, have you been raised from the dead? Have you taken the necessary steps to come out of darkness into his marvelous light? You've been raised from the dead. If ye've been risen with him. That's a big if there, my brother, my sister. It means that progress has been made already. This person is not a babe if they've been risen. No, they're not babies. They're not. No, those were the Corinthians. And Paul was saying, I couldn't even talk to you guys as spiritual because you guys were babies. I had to talk to you like babies because you're arguing and fussing and it just shows you guys act like little children. But these in Colossae were dealing with some different issues. It was more of a deception in that region with those who were of the circumcision. They did a lot of damage back in those days with those who had made sincere commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ. The circumcision had done a lot of damage in uprooting those who had been started with the Lord, rooted in Christ. And unfortunately, they were deceived into believing something that had to do with the Abrahamic covenant, and how every man needs to be circumcised the eighth day. They emphasized that over grace, and there was an issue. So a lot of people stopped walking with those who were in the way because by the time the Apostle Paul comes, he sounds like a heretic. He's saying Gentiles can be saved and they don't have to be circumcised. Well, a lot of people who had studied the law back then did not believe that. And so there was an insurrection of those who didn't believe that. And they opposed vehemently those who were carrying the truth. Titus dealt with that as well when he was given instructions to go set in order the things that were lacking. Paul told him, you need to shut the mouths of these people because they're converting whole households. There were people who had dedicated their life to Christ and because of this false teaching had renounced the lordship of Jesus and started following these false teachers. Paul is coming back in Colossians saying, hey, if you've been raised, then this should be the life. You should be seeking those things which are above. Now, we don't see that today, brothers and sisters. It's because people have not grown to a place where their life has been raised from the dead. We don't live like that. No, we live like we're from the world, that we came from the world. And as a matter of fact, there's still some world in us. Jesus has given instructions to those who have come out of darkness as it relates to seeking and setting of your affections. Why? You died. There's an emphasis in chapter 3 of Colossians on the fact that Jesus died. He died. Hallelujah. Verse 3, it says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid. His life is manifested. Christ's life in us. You know, the hidden mystery that we saw in the first chapter of Colossians, around the 27th verse, how Christ in us, the hope of glory. That same understanding is what's releasing this life. He lives within us. Christ does. So here he says, if ye've been risen, seek the things which are above. If ye've been risen, set your affections on things which are above. The focus of our attention is on what's above and not what's happening here on the earth. Too many are only concerned with what's happening in various political parties, what's happening in Israel, what's happened with the Gaza Strip, what's happening, is prophecy being fulfilled and all of that. Listen, my brother, my sister, if Christ has raised you from the dead in your salvation experience, your only seeking in focus is things that are above. Your affections, what you're feeling emotionally, should be on those things which are above. There's an above focus if you've been raised from the dead. He says it right here. You know what? Let me read this in the Passion Translation. He brings it out a little better in the Passion. I don't know if you guys have familiar with the Passion Translation, but we are, and it's pretty powerful. Listen to what the Passion Translation says. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. So where he says, if ye've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. The Passion says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. That when he was raised, guess what? I was raised with him. That's called identification. I'm identifying in his death so that I can be raised with him in his resurrection. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Now, he says, this is why we are to yearn for all that is above. Why? Christ resurrected. When he resurrected, so did we. We resurrected with him. He says in verse 2, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. He's even telling us what our thought processes should be like now that we're in Christ. Now, this is what I want to highlight in closing. Verse 4, verse 3 rather. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your life, your true life, is hidden away in God, in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are, will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. My goodness, I love the word of God, don't you? He says, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. My God, it shows us, brothers and sisters, the place that the cross has in the life of every person, which is what? It severed the tie to this life. Christ's death on the cross severed, hallelujah, any tie that my life has to any other source, any other owner, any other person. When I believed in Jesus and the resurrection, Christ severed that tie to that life. Now, my true life is hidden away in Christ, in God. So now my life is hidden in him. You can't see my life anymore. All you can see is him. He severed the tie to this life. I wonder how many of you know today that are viewing that what Jesus did on the cross severed the tie to the old life, the old man, the sinful nature. Are you aware of that? That tie has been severed forever. In other words, there's nothing to bring you back into that old life again. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. Verse 5, the passion continues. Live as one who has died to every form of sexual sin and impurity. Live as one who has died to the desires for forbidden things, including the desire for wealth, which is the essence of idol worship. When you live in these vices, you ignite the anger of God against these acts of disobedience. That's how you once behaved, characterized by your evil deeds. But now, it's time to eliminate them from your lives once and for all. What things is he talking about? Anger, fits of rage, all forms of hatred, cursing, filthy speech, and lying. Lay aside, here it is, lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerade and disguise. Brothers and sisters, you know, let me just share this with you in closing. That any attempt to hold on to the Adamic nature is a fake life. It's a life that God isn't receiving or accepting anymore. Lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerade and disguise. Old Adam self. Adam. What happened in Eden with the new creation was reduced to Adam and his life. We see that in chapter 5 of Genesis, he started having children after his own image and his own likeness. What happened? I thought we were all created in the image and likeness of God. We were until he fell. When he fell, Adam became the God life that he inherited. Well, we know he was nothing like God because he wouldn't have been hiding from God if he was. I heard you walking, but I was afraid, so I hid myself. That's not Christ. So we see that that new man, that new life that they were experiencing in the Garden of Eden was not the Adamic nature from the fall. It was a different life altogether. But after the fall, he brings it out here your old Adam self with its masquerade and disguise. Now, the Passion Translation puts masquerade and disguise, but isn't that what that life did in the garden? Didn't it hide from God? Didn't it try to cover itself with something? That was the masquerade. And the Bible says that God had to cover them with animal skins because in order for God to have fellowship with them, something had to die. Blood had to be shed, and they were covered with it so that God could continue the fellowship with these that are now in disobedience, these that are now carrying a different life and nature altogether. It's that of Adam, but in a fallen state. So God now in wisdom has this conversation with the Godhead. He's like one of us now. Unless he take of the tree of life and eat again, they'll be like us in this state forever. Get him out of the garden. He's got to go. The divine will in heaven brought the recommendation to excommunicate him out of the garden where he could speak to the ground and things would happen supernaturally. But now the ground that he was formed and shaped from, he's taken back there to cultivate it, because now all it's going to produce is briars and thorns. That's all it's going to produce. So the fall created the job for Adam. While he was in the garden, he has a responsibility. God cares for him. All the minerals and everything is there in the garden, gold, bedlam, all these different stones. Now, the principle that we share is it was there, but he didn't need it, right? God provided it, but he didn't need it. He didn't need it to barter. He didn't need it for trade. It was just Adam. It was just him before the multiplication and everything started. What I want you to see is something within him had changed and had started producing and replicating that life over again. And it's referred to in Colossians as the old Adam self, and it masquerades and it's a disguise. Verse 10, this is the Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 in the Passion. For you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. Who is that? That's the Father God. So this life, this new creation life, is not Adamic in nature. It's Christ-like. So the nature is different than what they carried in Genesis. And my brother, my sister, if you were born of a woman and you have not been born again, you carry the Adamic nature. And if you die in that nature, you didn't make it. You could go to church. You could be you could call yourself an apostle. But if you have not been born again, you are carrying the nature that God rejects. It's got nothing to do. It ain't that God against you and all. God just hates. God is just against us. No, he's not against anybody. He's against darkness because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. My brother, if you walk in darkness, you can't say that you're in the light. The Bible says in 1 John that you're a liar. If we walk in darkness, having received the knowledge of the truth, and we still walk in darkness, we cannot say that we're in light. No, we're not. He says here that you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. Let me stop here. This is so good. What I want you to see, brothers and sisters, is that this new creation life, there's nothing like this. There's no life on earth like the new creation. And yet, very little of the new creation is taught. Very little of the new creation is preached. Very little of the new creation is even understood by those that mount the holy desk Sunday and Wednesday, week after week. They know very little, if anything, about the new creation. They're trying to tell you to get your money on and rule and leave generational wealth and all this foolish stuff that the world system knows nothing about. They're in darkness. Stop listening to the world. We don't counsel with the ungodly. We're blessed. We don't counsel with the ungodly. They're ungodly. They don't know God. They might have a master's degree, but they're in darkness with a PhD and can't stay with a woman. So this is something that we have to see. It's a nature, brothers and sisters. Which do you carry? Christ's life and his nature, or the Adamic nature and the corresponding life that comes with it? Paul is emphasizing and pushing the Colossians and that entire region of believers into a lifestyle that's contrary to the Adamic nature. I wonder if your life is the same. If you want to waste your time in church, be my guest. But if you come out resembling Adam, you didn't make it. You didn't make it. Say, well, I'm not like most people. I'm not bad like them over there. I know, but we're not comparing badness. We're just those that are bad, period. And carry that nature. They're not going to heaven. I wonder if you're aware, brothers and sisters, that you could be carrying a nature right now that explains the life of confusion that you're living. You know, the life that you're trying to get together, the life that still is slips, and then this happened, and that happened, and then, oh man, that happened, and then that was supposed to happen, and then I got messed up, and then, you know, and I'm trying to get it together. And some of you have been trying to get your life together for years. And I want to ask, how's that working out for you? Have you gotten your life together yet? It's a futile attempt. Come to Jesus. Lay your life down. Surrender it to him in willful obedience and receive the life light that he's releasing to those that believe. They won't walk in darkness, but they'll have the light of life. Is that your desire today? We see this life unfolding in those who have been raised from the dead. Their mindset is different. Their affections are different. Everything about how they go about their life is different. It's pointing to a Jesus that they have given themselves to completely. Not a building, not a pastor, not a church. Christ. And him crucified. My brother, my sister, in closing, did you come to church or did you come to Christ? I want to pray that if you came to church, you'll come back to Christ, the one who died on the cross for your sins, the one who forgave you. As far as the east is from the west, so have I removed your transgression. The one who came, died, buried, and rose again so that we could have a right to the tree of life. Not that we could be religious or try hard to be better, but carry the new creation life. And this new creation, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, according to Colossians, it has severed the tie to the Adamic life. And now our true life that is hidden in Christ, this is the life that God is bearing upon us. It's the life that we're supposed to bear. Would you like to talk to the Lord about that today, my brother? Oh, I know the church life, it's wonderful. You're enjoying it, I know. But Christ's life is better. Christ's life gives you victory over things that church life can't. Church life usually lacks Christ and that connection to his life. It's actually teaching another life altogether. As a matter of fact, some churches teach two lives. So I want to admonish you, choose Christ's life and let that life govern you. If you've been raised from the dead, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand. Set your affections on things above. Father, I want to pray for these that are viewing today. And as you have directed us to this passage, I see that the motivating verse here is that we died and that our life is now hidden with Christ in God. I pray today that it would be echoed through this podcast. We died in Jesus. That in Christ, we're dead. We died to Adam. We received Christ's life, and he quickened us and made us alive. We once were dead in sins, but you quickened us. You made us alive. You turned that darkness into light, and you delivered us from the powers of darkness. I pray that that focus now on manifesting Christ's life would be our primary objective. It would be the sole reason for why we live and do all that we do every day. It's so that Christ can be glorified through us. Lord, please help us as we pray. Praying for every person on the line, on the call today, on the podcast, those that are viewing. Lord, will you locate where we are and grow us to a place where maturity can be understood? Our affections can be laid down to be sought only those above. Seek those things which are above. Help us, Lord, to focus on the right thing. We trust, Lord, that you will lead, guide, and direct us. You will continue to help us, Lord, as we labor together. Thank you, precious Lord, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. My brother, my sister, I want to thank you for joining us once again on This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. We'll be back by God's grace next week. Until then, may God's riches be yours. We'll see you next time. God bless.